Welcome back. 1144, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And I'm joined now by Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
I guess you survived the White House state dinner last night. Oh, wait, you didn't go to that, did you?
My invitation must have gotten lost somewhere.
Yeah. All right, so I saw the story. Fractured House approves debt ceiling hike. Clean bill drops all GOP demands. You and I spoke about this yesterday, and it sure appeared that was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. So I guess that means, what, 13 more months of no-limit credit cards for the government?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's sort of, you know, there are a couple of different ways to handle the debt ceiling. The way that Congress has traditionally handled it for years and years and years was they would impose a dollar limit, and when the government got close to that dollar limit, then Congress would come back and redebate whether to raise it again, and sometimes, oftentimes, they would extract concessions, including the big 2011 budget deal we had. Congress managed to extract concessions from the White House in order to raise the debt limit. You know, the president wants to raise the debt limit. Republicans in Congress want spending cuts. Well, there sounds like the outlines of a deal there. More recently, though, the last few times, Congress hasn't actually gone and set a dollar limit. They've actually just basically said, nope, we're going to set a time limit. You can borrow as much as the government needs to in order to cover spending for X amount of time. In this case, we're talking about more than a year, which is a really stunning amount of time. It gets you past the end of the midterm congressional elections, which is why it takes us into next year. But really, you know, I can only imagine if somebody came to me and said, you know, we're going to let you add as much to your credit card as you need to for the next year. And we're not going to give, you know, we're not going to worry about your limit just at the end of next year. We're going to raise your limit to whatever it is that you're at that point, and you'll be fine. That's pretty stunning.
Yeah, it is stunning. And yeah, I saw where Harry Reid said, finally, the Republicans are coming to their senses. And I had to laugh because you wouldn't congratulate a family member on running your credit card debt way, way up.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Now, there is a – I keep going back and forth in my brain about how to look at this and whether it's fair to look at it as a family credit card. And there are two parts to that. One is to – one way to approach that is that the federal government is different. You know, when you spend on a credit card, that's when you're actually incurring the debt. You're paying with your credit card, and then you reimburse the credit company for that. In the case of the federal government, it's not that way. Once they pass the spending bills, that's when they've incurred the debt. All that the debt limit technically allows them to do is go back and repay those earlier obligations. So that would be the generous way of looking at it for the federal government. But the other way of looking at it is, no, you know, once you run up against your borrowing limit, when the credit card company says you only have this amount and you run up against that, you personally start cutting expenses so that you don't go over that limit. Whereas the federal government, they just keep calling up the credit card company and saying, give us more, give us more, give us more, and
right.
They never actually get around to the business of cutting the spending below that level. So there are two ways to look at it, and I go back and forth on which is fair, but either way, it's safe to say that the federal finances are in bad shape.
Yeah. All right, so it passes 221 to 201, heads for the Senate. Will they need 60 votes to get it through the Senate? Because I heard Ted Cruz making some type of rumbling.
That's exactly right, and Harry Reid was complaining about that earlier today on the floor, and it's, you know, absolutely they will need to get 60 votes. This is look at the vote in the House. This was not an easy vote for them, and for Harry Reid to think that this is going to speed through the Senate is that's sort of fanciful. He's using this as a rhetorical point to say, look, Democrats are the ones who are being responsible. Republicans are being irresponsible. We need to get this done immediately. We don't need to get it done immediately. We haven't until the end of the month. The problem is that the Senate wants to go on a week-long vacation next week, and so Harry Reid would prefer to let all of his folks go home before the snowstorm, so if they can vote on it quickly, they can have a nice, easy time of it. Ted Cruz's point is, no, this should not be an easy thing. This should be a painful thing for us. We should go through hoops if we're going to allow us to run up a credit card for the next 13 months, and, you know, that's exactly sort of the fight there. Each side has a point. It's going to happen anyway, so Reid says, why not just go ahead and get it done with? Cruz's point, no, let's make it painful so we understand exactly what we're doing.
And what they're doing is adding, what, another $800 billion to the
debt? Yeah, you don't know for sure. It's tough to predict into the future, but if you go by the last 13 months, that's how much debt we incurred over the last 13 months, so that's probably what we would end up with. And at that point, you know, given where our debt is right now, if we do incur about that much in the next 13 months, we will be over $18 trillion in gross debt.
Mm. 28 Republicans voted for the debt ceiling increase. I imagine conservative groups are already set to pounce on those individuals.
Yeah, now a lot of these are folks that probably don't have to worry about conservative groups too much. Though the big thing here is that you have the top three Republican leaders, Speaker Boehner, Majority Leader Cantor, and Majority Whip McCarthy, all vote for it. And most of the other 28 who voted for it were committee chairmen who sort of, you know, they have to vote for this stuff or else they get in trouble with their party. And then members of the Appropriations Committee who are the ones who are racking up the spending bills that we are paying for now.
Yeah.
So none of the 28 were necessarily a surprise. And so I don't know that the conservative groups will have many targets there. I think the conservative groups actually are probably pretty happy at how few people actually did vote for it. 28 is not a lot of people. You know, getting 221 votes overall, that's barely above the 218 minimum threshold to pass a bill if everybody had voted. Not everybody voted, so they had some leeway there. But it's still, that's not an overwhelming vote. This was a very tough vote, and most conservatives pretty clearly said, this is a bad vote, we shouldn't be doing this. Boehner's point as he passed this, you know, this was not a good day for John Boehner. His point as he passed it was to try and say, this is all about President Obama. I'm letting President Obama have his debt hike, and this will be known as President Obama's debt. That's a tough argument to make when the Speaker is the guy who puts it on the floor and votes for it. But the number of conservatives who voted against it will help him reinforce that argument.
Yeah, I understand Republicans really didn't get up and protest at all yesterday, right?
Not a one spoke, except for the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Dave Camp, who's the guy who actually, of course, has to sponsor the bill as the chairman of the Chief Tax and Debt Committee. He's the only Republican who was there. And Democrats, of course, they flooded the floor. A bunch of them spoke. Every single leader came and spoke and said, hey, this is proof that Democrats are the responsible ones and Republicans aren't the responsible ones. The fact that Democrats are willing to pay bills and Republicans aren't proves that not only responsibility. Nancy Pelosi made the argument that since the Constitution guarantees the full faith and credit of the debt, Democrats, by voting for this debt increase, were the ones proving that they care about the Constitution more than Republicans, at least on that matter.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I have a soundbite of Tim Holzkamp of Kansas saying Nancy Pelosi was running the floor yesterday in the House. Wow. All right, this is the third time Republicans have given in on this issue in the past couple of years. So, in my mind, they've got no shot of ever standing their ground again on this.
Yeah, and a lot of members of Congress agree with you on that. We've seen a slow deterioration. You know, 3 years ago, 2011, we had the big Budget Control Act, which created the sequesters. It allowed more than $2 trillion of a debt increase in exchange for $2 trillion of spending cuts over the long term. Now, we got the immediate $2 trillion of debt increase, and of course are way past that now. But we're only slowly making our way. We're only about 2 or 3 years into the $2 trillion of spending cuts. And the Budget Act, last December budget deal, actually punched a hole in some of those. So, as you just said, the one big accomplishment Republicans got on this, they're already eating away at. And then the next three debt increases, they didn't get matching spending cuts for any of those. So right now, I think it's safe to say that Republicans have lost all that leverage. We may even be going to a point where we just get rid of the debt limit altogether and just make it an automatic thing. Once you spend it, the debt increases.
Wow. All right, one final thing before I let you run. I see where the House voted to cancel cuts to military benefits. This was a no-brainer, right?
Well, sort of. It was a little controversial because it was initially attached to the debt vote. Now it passed the House fairly easily. The Senate is actually in the middle of debating it today, and we'll see what happens over there. The problem is that, you know, again, you have to pay for this sort of stuff. This was, Paul Ryan held this out as a big entitlement reform. This was the sort of thing where we were showing that we could at least tackle some of these smaller long-term obligations, and the military retirement system is one of these giant things that's going to causes problems in the future years. Ryan said we have to make these cuts in order to get this done. If everybody's rushing now to undo even these cuts, that's the proof that we really are in bad shape. Nobody up here can have an honest conversation about long-term unsustainable spending.
All right, I'll let you get back to work. heavens knows what's going to happen today.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, thanks for your help.
My pleasure, Andy.
Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor, looking down the list of Republicans who crossed over to help the Democrats yesterday. No surprise, John Boehner, Dave Camp, Eric Cantor. I'm looking for some of the bigger names on there. Daryl Issa. Who else? Peter King of New York, Kevin McCarthy of California, and here's a surprise, Frank Wolf of Virginia. Now, I would think that if Frank Wolf were to run again, he wouldn't have voted that way, but since he's bailing out at the end of the session, then I guess he's doing Boehner a favor. But anyway, somewhat disappointing. 11:54, 1260 WRC. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.